aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WTN. Tudor Palak on the news, Kevin Powell on the sports, and Violetta Powder-Medic on the traffic trouble spots. And yesterday, she got us through some stuff. We had to hold her yesterday, and she was holding us to get us through the president and the weather.
On the traffic situation.
Screwing up all the traffic in town.
Thanks, Obama.
Right, that's our last hashtag, thanks, Obama. That's what that is. So, all right. Well, you heard a little bit of what I was thinking about in terms of the Trump press conference today. The one thing is that this is the, what you saw last night, I guess what I was trying to say is what you saw last night is the last recognizable, the way that we have seen the American president in the television era. I think that's, I think Barack Obama is the last guy who's going to do that, who's going to be a, you know, a politician and measured in his speech and ecumenical in his approach and bipartisan
thoughtful.
About his, not his philosophy, but in terms of, you know, the politeness and not taking on enemies. Because I don't think that Donald Trump necessarily is going to be a unique actor here. I think that a lot of people are going to see that this was something that, that worked, that won, and there will be a lot, and I think there will be a stylistic change in American politics as a result of Donald Trump. So what you saw last night here in Chicago was one of the last times you're ever going to see that kind of political act, if you will.
I kind of hope not. You know, I mean, it, at some point you do rise to the occasion after the vitriol of an election and you become the president of all people, right? And I think that's...
Did you see that today?
I didn't, no. But, you know, I didn't.
Should you have seen it today?
I think so. I mean, look, it's time now. We're 10 days away. And I don't doubt that he was absolutely upset and should be about some of the factual inaccuracies that were reported by some news organizations. And he should lash out strongly against that to set the record straight. But then when he decides not to call on reporters or, you know, I mean, that's democracy in action, to allow reporters who even are critical of you to ask you tough questions. That's part of the deal.
That's especially part of the deal.
Right. And when you say lash out, I don't think that is the job of the president to lash out. I think the job of the president is to say, this is not what happened.
Well, blatant inaccuracies. I would say that even President Obama would have had a very firm tone in his voice and been angry about it, and probably even noticeably so if you said things about him personally that were not true, and that they became out there in such to such wide audiences that everybody's
talking
about.
Like he wasn't born here?
Yeah, right. I mean, I think that that kind of thing deserves a really strong reaction. Absolutely.
But he did have a strong reaction, but always within the limits of that.
There's no comparison. I agree.
I mean,
there's no comparison.
Yeah. And, you know, for Trump today to be calling this fake news, you know, so see, I see the difference with Obama to me is so he's so intelligent. His intelligence comes through in everything he says.
Sure.
Trump, when he, and nothing, I'm not going to make a statement on Trump's intelligence, but when you call it fake news and you don't know if it's fake news, I mean, it's just unsubstantiated at this point.
Well, what's fake? He called CNN fake news, and I don't think CNN is fake news.
No,
CNN
he's saying that report was fake news.
Right.
That was a fake news story. That is absolutely not true at
but
this
there,
point.
There are things within it that have been proven false already, like the fact that the Russian bank was spelled incorrectly and the fact that his attorney, as was reporting yesterday,
right.
was never in Prague. And
those
showed
are,
his
you could call those inaccuracies,
passport.
I guess, but
yes,
not just, fake news.
But that was speculation based on the, you know, amongst a bunch of other pieces in that report. All right. David Axelrod, you know what? I'm sorry, but I'm going to drag your keister right into the middle of this thing right now.
He's used to it.
All right, okay.
All right,
I'm coming.
Prepare yourself. Let us. All right. So,
I have a thought or two on what you guys are talking.
Okay,
about.
Okay, go ahead. There.
Well, look, I work for CNN, so I have some familiarity with this story. And if you read the CNN story, carefully, not BuzzFeed. None of those errors were within the CNN story. CNN was very careful not to catalog any of the charges that were contained in that 35-page compendium of reports from this British intelligence agent. The only thing that CNN was reporting on was the fact that the intelligence chiefs appended an annex to the report they gave to the president-elect and the president that included a two-page summary of these reports. BuzzFeed then decided, and CNN said specifically, we are not going to catalog these charges or describe these charges here because we can't independently verify them. But it was news that the four top intelligence officers of the government thought it was important to add this to the report. And what happened today in the press conference was that first Sean Spicer and then the president-elect tried to conflate BuzzFeed with CNN and impeach the CNN story. And, you know, I think you're going to see a lot of this. And it's going to be incumbent on the media to fight back hard against that kind of tactic. Because at the end of the day, what Donald Trump apparently believes is fake news is stories that he doesn't like. And what he thinks is valid news are stories that he does. God knows he's been a purveyor of a lot of stories that turned out to be
fake news.
Genuine fake news.
Right.
And he's done it. And then when you ask him, he said, well, I didn't say it. Someone else said it.
David, we'd
I was just passing along what someone else was saying.
I'm curious. We had heard that this dossier had been circulated within major news sources, and a lot of top reporters had received it and seen it, and political operatives as well, months ago. Is it something that you were aware of for some time?
No. I mean, well, there were, you know, there's always rumors in the political community. I wasn't aware of it for some time. But, you know, again, I think from what I can see, you know, many of the networks and major news outlets, print outlets, were working the story, and nobody went with the story because they haven't yet been able to verify the different elements of the story. They've been able to knock some things down. What made this a
news
story?
Knock some things down, meaning that rule them out.
Well, the ones you pointed out.
Yeah.
What made this news was that there was the intelligence folks thought it was important enough to include in this. And now there was a report this morning that on one of the networks that, well, they included it to show Trump what misinformation can look like, but you know. That's not my sense of what happened.
So there's a couple different things. So our sources today in Washington are saying two things. One, the most important piece here is...
You've got sources in Washington? Sources in Washington.
Hard to believe, right? Big league.
Incredible.
Yeah, I know.
The service that you perform for your listeners.
Thank you. I go the extra half mile. Now, what I was told today is that the real issue here for this, the reason that this is significant on a security level, on an intelligence briefing level, is that and this is something that CNN had reported, that this document had come into the hands of John McCain. And that John McCain then handed it over to the director of the FBI, Director Comey. Now,
which McCain confirmed today. Mm-hmm.
Right. So this is an important point. So this then rises to the level of this now falls into the hands of the FBI. It becomes incumbent upon the FBI to make a determination about whether or not this is something that needs to be specific. Not so much the sexual part, you know, of Trump in St. Petersburg or anything like that, but more so the issue of communication between the campaign and Russian officials. And so that would be an investigation against the president-elect. There might be an investigation to protect the president-elect as well,
right,
in terms of if there's somebody out there trying to spill stories about him that are untrue, they want to get that worked out as well. So now the threat matrix is such that they have to go to the president-elect and go, here's what's being said. Here's what we are in, you know, this is what's being said about you. But also, Mr. President-elect, you have to understand that, and this is what one source said to me from Washington today, which is that it becomes an issue of impeachability if he was, in fact, was directing communication between Russian officials and his campaign. That becomes a problem for him, so they need to let him know, hey, that might be something that the federal government's going to investigate.
Is that something you're hearing, David? That is being
investigated? Well, I think that the two. I don't want to speculate honestly on this, but I mean, I think it's a plausible theory that's being advanced. It makes sense. First of all, if the FBI is investigating, as they apparently are, it makes sense that they would want to be straight up with the president-elect as to what's happening. And the thing that sort of blew this whole thing up was the actual release of the larger document, which includes a lot of unverified charges, some of which are pretty salacious, and in certain ways it's a weird gift to Trump, because he can go after the most outrageous things and
say nothing is believable now.
Not have to answer to the
other things. Say that there's one lie, you know, if it's one lie, it's all a lie.
But it is true, though.
That was, you know, this. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just think when you see a document, and you've been an investigative journalist at the esteemed Chicago Tribune, when you see a document that has several inaccuracies, you would question some of the other things, too, unless you have some kind of a verifying source or a second source in order to prove that the other things are, in fact, true.
And this was a document generated privately. This is not a public investigation.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, but the thing is, it is the document was generated by a former intel guy, and the nature of intel is you get a lot of raw information, some of which checks out and some of which doesn't. And, you know, there's a difference between raw intelligence and intelligence that's been analyzed and verified.
Right. Now there's some degree.
Some of that intel can be bad, and some of it can be good. So, you know, we'll see where this all leads. But I think what the president-elect and his team are trying to do is to set up a situation where they create doubt about whatever conclusions are drawn, if the conclusions are negative for them. The danger with that is, you know, when you really are, as a president, reliant on the intelligence community to keep the country safe. And, you know, you so discontent within that community. I had John Brennan on my podcast last week, and Brennan said, you know, if he continues with this, a lot of people are going to leave. A lot of very experienced people are going to leave the intelligence community.
And you don't want that.
That's going to expose the country to risk.
Is it?
But the second thing is, if you take the tack that, you know, you compare the intelligence community to Nazis, and you take the tack that they are unreliable, and then you have to take a decision as president to do something in the world, militarily or otherwise, based on intelligence, you've impeached those people on whose intelligence you're relying.
It's
really dangerous, really dangerous.
Well, I think this goes to a little bit of the amateur hour issue here. Hey, two things before I let you go. We're way late here, and I appreciate you standing by and doing this with us. But last night you were asked this on CNN that during the transition between George W. Bush and Barack Obama, there was an exchange in which George W. Bush had said to Barack Obama, "Hey, one thing you don't want to do is tick off the intelligence community."
Yes.
Is that true?
Well, I've heard that. I have not asked him that directly. I've heard that is true, and it certainly is true. It certainly is true. I mean, this is it's unfathomable to a lot of people in government, you know, why you would go down this path. And, you know, I just want to say a word. I mean, there's no doubt the intelligence agencies should be scrutinized, and intelligence should be scrutinized, and nothing should be taken at face value. And we know that there have been mistakes at times. But the people who Donald Trump met with, I have no idea what their political affiliations are. They've served in Republican administrations and Democrat. Combined, they probably have, you know, 120 years of experience more in law enforcement and intelligence, working for Republicans and Democrats. So it's really, you know, Rick Santorum was on CNN with me this morning, and he said, well, they were appointed by Obama, so of course they would say those things. That is a real slap at these career intelligence officers, right, who I don't think identify themselves as operatives for any political party.
And the problem is Rick Santorum knows better. That's a problem. And I'll say it. You don't say it. But that what troubles me right now is that people of goodwill who live in Washington and understand how the government and the military and the intelligence community and all those things operate together to try to keep us as safe as possible. It doesn't always work, but it works hard. And, you know, there's a difference. People politically, they want to say one thing, but then when the rubber hits the road, you know, they have to rely on these people. And yes, it's just, you got to not, you know,
This goes to a larger concern I have. You know, in this press conference today, not only did he go after the intelligence community, but he went after the news media, as was mentioned. And he did one other thing. Well, he offered, basically he said, I'm not going to follow the tradition that presidents have set for, you know, decades and decades. I'm not going to disclose my income taxes, and I'm not going to cut myself off from my business. So I said it's a blind trust in that we're going to be blind to a lot of his financial dealings, and we're going to be asked to trust him. That's his idea of a blind trust.
Right.
So that erodes faith in the institution of the presidency. And then he also said, and I actually agree with him on this position, that he's going to compel Medicare to negotiate with the pharmaceutical companies for lower prices. I think they should do that. But he dropped it out there in this press conference, and the market, you know, there was a huge market impact of that. And I always say, when presidents speak, armies, you know, you could say armies marching and markets tumbling. So some sense of discretion is necessary in how you approach these things. And he treats it all as if it's just, you know, like he's still in the campaign.
Yeah.
And he's, I just worry about institutional erosion here. Confidence, you know, our institutions are under siege, all of our institutions, and now we have a president who doesn't seem to appreciate the importance of them. And that, to me, is a long-term problem. Presidents come and go, parties change. I get that. Policies change. But we need our institutions. Yeah. And if we don't have faith in those, nothing else works. And he seems determined he's careless about impugning institutional integrity wherever he sees it when he feels it's to his advantage. That is really concerning to me.
All right. David Axelrod, thank you very much. Appreciate it, sir.
All right.
Thanks,
good to be with you guys.
Yeah,
bye.
Thank you.